and even to invite her to join us here. But I resisted. I resisted also his intimations that I should quit the devil drink and mend my ways. We had many arguments along this theme, and finally parted on less than civil terms. I am sorry to say that I do not know where Frederick is now. You have always been the scholar of the family, Walter. I am ashamed of a great many aspects of my life, but I have never been ashamed of you. In taking my oath of temperance, I have confronted my true soul. I have seen myself truly as a man of weakness and of cowardice, easy prey to vice and sin of all description. But if I am proud of one thing, it is that my sons are not like me in these degenerate respects. It is a painful joy for a father to say of his son, "That man is a better man than I." I assure you, I have felt this painful joy twice over. I can do no more than to beg for your forgiveness, as I must also beg for Frederick's, and to promise that our next reunion, should you grant me one, will be conducted dry. Good fortune, Walter. Know that I have confronted my true soul, and that I write this as a sober man. Know also that even the briefest reply would greatly cheer the heart of your father, Adrian Moody. He read the letter twice over, then folded it into the envelope, and wrote his son's name in large letters upon the front. His hand trembled as he capped his pen. "A Mr. Frost for Mr. Steins."
"Send him in," said Devlin.
Charlie Frost had a piece of paper in his hand.
"Expenses," he said, looking apologetic. "Have a seat," said Devlin. "What's the damage, Mr. Frost?" said Steins. He was looking very tired.
"Extensive, I'm afraid," said Frost, drawing up a chair. "Justice Kemp has ruled that Francis Carver's dividend of £2,048 must be honoured. There's a catch. The Garrity Group is to be repaid in full for the claim taken out against Godspeed, but the rest will go to Mrs. Carver as Carver's widow."
"How is she?" Devlin said.
"Sedated," said Frost. "Dr. Gillies and Mr. Pritchard are waiting on her, I believe. Last I saw her, she was being escorted back to the Wayfarer's fortune."
He turned back to Steins, flattening his paper on the desk.
"May I itemize the expenses briefly?"
"Yes."
"As the party found guilty, you are responsible for all legal fees, including those incurred by Mr. Fellows these months past, and including also Mr. Nielsen's commission, since invested in the Seaview jailhouse. As you might remember, the magistrate ruled that because it had been charitably donated, it would not be revoked. In total, all of this amounts to a little over £500.
"Halved and halved again," said Steins.
"Yes, I'm afraid you will find that a common theme with legal expenses. There's more. You've also been sued for damages by a great many diggers in both Canyere and the Hokitika Gorge. I don't have the exact sum for you yet, but I'm afraid it's likely to be dozens of pounds, perhaps hundreds."
"Is that everything?"
"In terms of official expenses, yes," said Frost. "There are several unofficial matters to discuss, however. Do we have time?"
"Do we have time?" said Steins to Devlin.
"We have until the carriage gets here," said Devlin.
"I will be quick," said Frost. "As you may be aware, the gold extracted from Anna's orange gown is still stowed beneath Mr. Gascoigne's bed. Anna owes a debt of some £120 to Mr. Mannering, and she had thought to repay this amount with the pure colour extracted from the orange gown. I had the idea, however, that you might like to take on her debt to Mr. Mannering, and arrange for Mr. Mannering to be repaid out of your share of the bonanza as an itemized expense. That way Anna will have something to live on, you see, during the months where you're in jail."
"Good," said Steins.
"Yes, do that. Just as you say."
Frost made a note of this.
The second matter, he said, is the bonus owing to Mr. Quee. We must keep up the sham that the fortune originated on the Aurora, you see, and every man who comes upon a bonanza deserves a reward.
Of course, said Staines. A bonus.
I'm given to understand, Frost continued, that Mr. Quee is desirous to return to China once his company indenture expires. Furthermore, he wishes to return with exactly 768 shillings in his pocket. According to Mr. Mannering, he has long set his mind upon this precise figure. I believe it is of some personal, spiritual significance to him.
Ordinarily, this curiosity would have tickled Emery Staines extremely, but he did not smile. It was Devlin who exclaimed, 768 shillings?
Yes, said Frost.
What a fastidious thing, said Devlin. What does it augur, do you know?
I'm afraid I do not, said Frost. But if I might make a suggestion, turning back to Staines, perhaps your bonus payment to Mr. Quee ought to be enough to realize this ambition.
What does it come to in pounds?
£38.08, said Frost. Roughly 1% of 4,000, and 1% is a reasonable rate for a goldfields bonus, especially given that Mr. Quee is Chinese. As a gesture of good faith, you also might wish to consider buying him out of his indenture and facilitating his passage home.
Staines shook his head.
I never thought of him, did I?
Who? Said Frost.
Mr. Quee, said Staines. I simply never thought of him. Well, he did us all a very great favour this afternoon in keeping our secret, and now we have a chance to do him one in return. I have spoken to Mr. Mannering already. He is content to accept an early termination of Mr. Quee's contract, and has costed it at my request. If you pay Mr. Quee a bonus of £64, then all expenses should be adequately covered.
Staines brought his shoulder up to his cheek and sighed. Yes, he said. All right.
Now, the third financial matter.
Frost coughed slightly.
When we first came upon the fortune back in January, Mr. Clinch made me a present of £30 as a gift. I'm afraid I spent it, and I have not the means to repay even a penny of it. I wonder if I might impose upon your generosity and list those £30 as bank expenses?
He said all this very fast, and then added,
There's a loan, of course. I'd repay it by the time of your release.
Here's the carriage, Devlin said, rising.
That's fine, said Staines to Frost.